The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Tonight is the 16th night of Rabi'ul Akhir, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from the booklet Attar's 40 hadith is presented. من أكثر الصلاة علي نظر الله قلبه. Saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whoever sends much salat upon me shall have their heart enlightened by Allah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We are receiving questions through social media. One question that we have received is, after committing a sin we do develop a mindset to repent, but we do not feel embarrassment in true and real sense. So in such a situation, should we still repent or should we first wait for the feelings of remorse to develop inside us and then repent?
Delay in repentance is a sin in itself. Repentance has to be made and feelings of remorse also need to be developed. Once Allah has been disobeyed and we have developed a mindset that we have disobeyed Allah, then we should be remorseful as well. Even if a person disobeys his parents, he should still be guilty over it. If he has some sense of honor, and disobedience of Allah is something very severe, may Allah save us all from this. So a person should repent. As for guilt and remorse, it will initially be less and then it shall gradually increase. There are accounts of people with immense remorse. In case of committing a sin, they would abandon their homes and go into jungles. They would abandon eating out of regret and remorse. How can we replicate that? Even if a small thought comes to us that we've sinned and we become a bit remorseful, this is also for privileged people. May Allah allow us to be remorseful in true sense. A hadith states, "An-nadamu tawbatun." Remorse is repentance. Remorse meaning embarrassment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Brother Bilal from Jampur has asked the question that we try to observe patience on painful statements of people, but at times people put you in such a situation that you become forced to speak, which makes you utter inappropriate things as well, leading you to regret later on. So what should we do in such a situation?
You should remain patient. If inappropriate things were said when you were being tested, then of course, you have made a mistake. This is the meaning of patience, that a person becomes quiet and does not reply to such people. However, wherever it may be necessary, a person may reply, but that too very carefully and without uttering inappropriate things. But then there are many such occasions where there's no need for a verbal reply to be given. Silence also resolves issues at such occasions. For example, someone talks nonsense, and if you also reply to him with nonsense, this would not resolve the issue. If you stay quiet, it is possible that if they're sensible, they would be remorseful themselves, thinking that we are at fault. He doesn't even reply, he stays quiet. But it's difficult. I've just recalled the time of very early days of Dawat-e-Islami, that for a very long time I was targeted with many objections. Many people with different statures, small and big, would object to me. And one thing famous about me among them was also that I don't reply to their remarks and objections. And gradually, with the passage of time, all their objections came to an end. If I respond to them, then they respond back to my response, as at times they have nothing else to do. And for me, I would have so many things to do. In those days, I would say that even to do this, I don't have any time. That's how busy I would be. so many things. Even letters, I would write them myself. I would get letters from places that were far and wide. Like a person would think that, how much can I do? I have to deliver speeches. I had to lead Salah as well. I would also do the area visits and travel in qaflas. Like there was a time when I used to frequently come and go and visit different places as there were no security issues. The enemy realized it after quite some time that Dawat-e-Islami has progressed so quickly, now let's cause hindrance to it. But Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami had become very strong and firm with the mercy of Allah. It is the grace and mercy of Allah. Now the times have changed, it's not the same time. The health is not the same either, but Alhamdulillah, even now I've not left my work and commitments. I'm sat here with you. Alhamdulillah, may Allah take the work of deen from me until my last breath. Only if. So observe patience even if someone says something inappropriate. There are many encouraging accounts of noble elders that when someone would say something inappropriate to them, their conduct would be so nice and sweet that the other person would either fall in their feet or he would quietly leave thinking he won't get what he wants from here. As it is said, silence brings salvation. And this subject is found in a hadith, Man samata naja, he who remained silent attained salvation. So people reply back with the same kind of response. If someone swears, people would swear back in return. Remember that urine doesn't get purified with urine but with water. Keep this formula in your mind. Now let's say someone is saying inappropriate statements. He is uttering nothing but absurd statements. It is not that we also have to reply him in the same way. This would ruin our image as well. And it's possible that we can't do justice then. And we exceed the limit even more. This normally happens. For example, the other person slaps us. In return, we'll end up punching him. A punch is stronger than a slap. This would be problematic. This normally happens when people take their revenge. Anyhow, hitting on the face is impermissible. Hitting on the face and the head is impermissible. To a human as well as an animal. Face and the head. Hitting there is impermissible. Remember this, not on the face or the head. It's a sin. And people, unfortunately, hit on the face during fights. Anyhow, may Allah save us from trials. So, in the cases where Sharia allows us to take back revenge from the other person, if the person decides to take back revenge, then he cannot exceed the limit. The revenge should be within the limits. Being just here is very difficult. We retaliate to the person harder than how he oppressed us. Therefore, staying silent and forgiving the other person have more benefit. A person slaps you on one side, you should present the other side. This would carry less trial for you, and the other person will not hit you either. He will become embarrassed. It is very unlikely that he would go ahead with it. But consider the situation as well, like if he is so furious at the time, then your action should be in accordance to it. It was written in the Blessed Torah that, O Musa, keep a smile on your face and adopt a soft behavior. People will start loving you more than the one who distributes gold and silver. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question, in the court of the Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, is that if a woman is pregnant and finding it difficult to prostrate to perform sajda, then what should she do?
Firstly, the word that has been used to describe the woman, a more respectable way of saying it is, she is expecting. This is more appropriate and respectful. Perhaps. Anyhow, nonetheless, if prostration is difficult for her in such a way that by prostrating she experiences a severe pain, which would not enable her to prostrate and leads to severe pain, in such a case, she is exempted from prostration. The actual physical prostration is exempted. And when the physical prostration is exempted, then this would make the qiyam exempted as well. So until the woman remains in this state, she would offer salah through gestures. And while doing so, she needs to be careful that the gesture she makes for ruku' in sajda, she will do more. This is the ruling for everyone in salah with gestures. Now, for example, the bowing down of ruku' has nothing to do with the back. It has nothing to do with it. It would always be with the head or the finger that the gesture would be made. No gesture needs to be made with the back of a person, so the gesture would be with the head. This is ruku. And this is sajda. So the gesture of sajda would be greater than that of ruku, and we will get up from ruku as well. Let me show it again. Like, this is the gesture of ruku. This is getting up from ruku. Now for sajda, the gesture would be slightly greater than that of the ruku. The head would be bowed down a bit more than it was in ruku. Like this. This is sajda. If the gesture of sajda is not greater than the gesture of ruku, then the sajda will not be performed. Keep this in mind. If you're still in pain, then reduce the gesture of ruku more and leave scope for the sajda, whereby the gesture for sajda can be greater than that of ruku. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Habib Attari from Baghdad. Alhamdulillah, today we visited the shrines of Salman Farsi radiallahu anh and Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anh. Sayyidina Salman Farsi is from Persia, so please bless us with some pearls of wisdom regarding his blessed seerah. And Huzaifa bin Yaman is known as the secret bearer of the Prophet. What is the reason for this? And please bless us with some pearls of wisdom regarding him.
When the companion of the Prophet, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, embraced Islam, then in his name of lineage, he replaced his father's name with the word Islam, making him Salman bin Islam. His patronymic kunya is Abu Abdullah and his title is Salmanul Khair. The companion of the Prophet Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu belonged to the city called Isfahan in Persia. He left his motherland in search of truth. First, he was a Zoroastrian, meaning a fire worshipper. He radiallahu anhu then abandoned this false religion and thereafter became Christian. And after that, he accepted Islam. He radiallahu anhu was a possessor of wisdom and intellect. He was very wise and greatly farsighted. And he is among those noble personalities whom paradise is desirous for. Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu passed away during the caliphate of the third caliph of Islam, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in Madain on 10th of Rajab, 33 Hijri or 36 Hijri. Both these opinions are found for the year of passing. His blessed shrine is situated in Madain, which perhaps is referred to as Salman Park nowadays, which is in Iraq. And now we will present some glimpses of the seerah of the companion of the Prophet, Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman, radiallahu anh. Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was an expert of hypocrites and signs of hypocrisy. He was a specialist in this field. So once the knower of the unseen, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, called him and told him the name of each hypocrite. This is why whenever a funeral would arrive, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, would inquire whether Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anh is in the funeral or not. If he would be in the funeral, then Umar radiallahu anh would lead the funeral salah. Otherwise, he wouldn't attend it. Nuruddin Ali bin Ibrahim Halabi rahmatullah alayhi writes in Siratul Halabiya that he was called Sahibi Sirrun Nabi, meaning secret bearer of the Prophet, because he radiallahu anh knew those facts which no one besides him knew about. Meaning that he knew the special secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. For example, the names and lineages, etc. of hypocrites until the day of judgment. So Sayyiduna Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anh was aware of all these facts due to the medium of the Prophet, all through the Prophet. To the extent that he radiallahu anhu was even aware of the tribulations that were to emerge in the Ummah later. He radiallahu anhu narrates himself that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam has informed me of whatever has happened and whatever will happen until the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Ahl Sunnah is that how is it to buy a stolen mobile phone with halal money? Please pray for my forgiveness and for the forgiveness of my parents.
It's haram in an act that leads to hellfire. For stolen goods, if it is confirmed that it is stolen, or there's a strong presumption that it's stolen, even then, buying such items and goods is a sin. We find great wisdom in this commandment. If buying stolen goods was permissible, this would have strengthened the thieves, as they would then know that even the pious will buy, the scholars will buy, everyone will buy. So it is not permissible. Rather, if possible, you should get the thief caught. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Brother Ali Shehzad has asked a question through SMS. He is asking that we've heard the term Sidratul Muntaha in speeches and in nads. So what is meant by Sidratul Muntaha?
It is a low tree which is situated above the seven heavens. And it is the limit and boundary of Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wassalam. He can't go beyond this point. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Subhanallah.
He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would complete one Quran every night for 15 years. This is the grandeur of the chief of the awliya.
Subhanallah.
Brother Rehan, who is he talking about?
He's talking about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayhi, who is a very big wali of Allah.
Wali? Who is a wali? How do we become a wali? Let me search it up on YouTube. How do you become a wali? Let me watch this video.
The awliya of Allah recite Quran abundantly.
So now I will also recite the Quran.
Awliya recite Salat upon the Prophet abundantly.
Salat upon the Prophet. Becoming a wali is very easy.
What's the matter? You became a dervish today.
Not a dervish. I'm becoming a wali of Allah.
Is it? Where did you learn the method of becoming a wali from?
From YouTube. Where else?
This is not how you become a wali.
Huh? If not like this, then how do you become a wali?
Even I don't know that, Brother Ali. Let's do one thing. Let's ask the Amir of Ahl Sunnah. Dear Amir of Ahl Sunnah, please guide us in this regard, that how can a person become a wali of Allah?
Subhanallah. Learning from YouTube is not a feasible approach. And the video also mentioned the qualities of a wali, not the method of how to become a wali. The video mentioned that a wali of Allah recites the Quran abundantly, recites Salat upon the Prophet abundantly, he performs Allah's worship abundantly. It didn't mention the method of how to become a wali. But we should not make such means our teacher. At times there are issues as well in it. When we talk about wilaya, sainthood, remember that it is Wahhabi. Wahhabi meaning granted. It is not what we call kasbi, meaning that it is not attained through effort. Rather, it is granted, meaning it is received with the grant of Allah. It is granted by Allah. For example, our murshid, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, was a wali by birth. There is no endeavor or hard work here. No acts of worship yet. No opportunity yet. He is just born and he is a wali. So in this regard, wilaya is granted to whomever Allah Almighty wills to grant. It's not necessary that one acquires it through hard work. However, abundance of worship, abundance of Quranic recitation, reciting salawat abundantly, performing righteous deeds abundantly, keeping a noble character, serving, Muslims profusely, not hurting their feelings, not troubling and hurting the parents, making sure to be considerate in heartening them in every case, and refraining from Allah's disobedience. So spending life in this manner whilst performing noble, righteous and pious deeds would make a person reach the rank of the righteous. So he'll be considered as someone who performs righteous deeds. And every wali is righteous. But it's not necessary that every righteous person is also a wali. Now, if a person is working hard and worshipping Allah, and Allah's grace also showers upon him in making him a wali, this is something separate. So worship of Allah is a means of acquiring the wilayah of Allah. But one should not develop a mindset that wilayah is definitely attained by performing worship. Keep this in mind. This is the grant of Allah. He may give it to whomsoever He wills. The Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah, says that wilayah is not kasbi, meaning that it is not attained through effort. Rather, it is granted, meaning it is received with the grant of Allah. Nevertheless, effort, endeavor and hardship in the way of Allah are something that show a person way, meaning that Allah shows a person way to Himself through these efforts and endeavors. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that Allah says that whoever harms a saint, whoever harms a wali, I declare war against him, and a person attains my most proximity through fulfillment of fara'id. Fara'id meaning obligatory acts. And the person constantly keeps acquiring my proximity through nawafil to the extent that I start loving him. When I make a person my mahbub, meaning my beloved, then I become his ears through which he hears. I become his eye through which he sees. I become his hand through which he holds, and I become his feet with which he walks. Then if he asks me, I grant him. And if he seeks refuge in me, then I grant him refuge. So through the fulfillment of fara'id and nawafil, the proximity of Allah can be attained. Whoever he wills, he makes him his beloved. When Allah says that I become his hands, I become his feet, what this expression means is that the person attains so much spiritual power in his hands, in his eyes, in his feet, that he can now see from far. What a person thinks inside his heart, he will be able to know that. If someone says something behind several veils, he'll even be able to hear that. Depending how much power Allah grants to a person, equally shall he receive these qualities and saintly miracles. So this is how it is. However, a saintly miracle, meaning a karama, is not a condition for wilaya. There are such awliya also who don't even know about their own wilaya. Whoever Allah grants, and then wilaya of some awliya gets renowned, they're well renowned everywhere and people attain blessings from them. For example, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Huzur Gharib Nawaz, Huzur Data Ganjbakhsh Ali Hajveri, Rahimahumullah, and many other awliya are famous as a wali. Also, my master, the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah, I firmly believe that he was an accomplished wali of Allah. So there are many other awliya as well, who were renowned and acclaimed, and who are commonly referred to as a wali of Allah by the Muslims. So nevertheless, awliya have different ranks. They have different stations. The saintly miracles of some of them attained immense acclaim, while there were some awliya whose saintly miracles did not receive much acclaim. There would also be some awliya whose saintly miracles wouldn't even have manifested, or even if they did, it wouldn't be in front of people. So a different systematic approach runs in this. Some people think that a person will be wali only if he shows a saintly miracle. My brother, don't even think this. This is the mindset of many people, that I'll believe in him only if he shows a saintly miracle. What would you do if a person shows you some trickery? How would you differentiate between a saintly miracle and trickery? We don't have enough knowledge. For example, there are magicians and they hold different kinds of magic shows. Like they will swallow a whole sword and they will take it out as a money note, which they will tear apart and then join it back. So is this a saintly miracle? So many people unfortunately have this habit, which is totally incorrect and wrong. One should not take a test thinking that if he is a wali of Allah, then he will definitely show me a saintly miracle. And if it is a case where he does not manifest a saintly miracle, then you will fall prey to further whispers. And if the other person is a pious person, if he is Allah's chosen servant, then you will be at loss. You will remain deprived of his blessings. And even if one does and shows trickery instead of a saintly miracle, as many false people disguising as saints nowadays do. What detail in this can I mention? I've said so many things in closed words. Some people show a lot of trickery. There are all sorts of things, like they'll strike you with their hand and they'll pretend that your heart's becoming spiritual. In his own 5 daily prayers, he wouldn't be offering them. Salah is the essence. The hearts, spirituality, they make up so many stories. I have seen such spectacles. Neither do I want your money nor your gifts. I want only you. That we should together serve the religion of Allah and fill the masjids. It's critical to preserve Iman, and the times are very sensitive nowadays. Iman is being attacked in different ways. Especially the social media has now made it even worse. Wise and mature people understand what I'm trying to explain. So stay attached to Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi, and inshallah nothing will happen to you. Our standard is Quran and Hadith. In Fatawa Razaviyah, we have been explained Quran and Hadith. We cannot understand Quran and Hadith ourselves. We don't have the relevant expertise and skill set. If we try to understand it ourselves, we'll get misguided as many have. Even Qadianis give reference from the Quran. And Allah forbid, they deny the finality of the Prophet ﷺ. They're apostate, expelled from Islam. Nothing to do with us. Whoever does not believe the Prophet ﷺ to be the final messenger of Allah, we have nothing to do with them, no acquaintance, no relation at all. He has nothing to do with Islam whatsoever. So the Fatawa Razaviyah has beautifully explained us the Quran and Hadith. That's why I said this in case someone says that we've given it a higher rank than Quran and Hadith. No, not at all. How can it be? Quran and Hadith have been explained in Fatawa Razaviyah. Is Fatawa are in the light of Quran and Hadith? Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah did not say anything in Fatawa Razaviyah from himself such that contradicts the Quran or Hadith. You'll understand when you read it. You can't without reading it. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sadaqat Ali from Karachi has asked a question through SMS that if one has no wudu and the person starts their salah and during the salah the person remembers that they don't have wudu and it's also confirmed that there's no wudu, what is the ruling for salah in this case?
If it's confirmed that there was no wudu, then there's no salah either. It didn't even start. They should go, perform wudu and offer the salah again.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakirah.